Hi, this is Dave Schwartz for PaceMakesTheRace.com. I know you remember me, blue shirt, geeky headset, poor sound quality, but always good handicapping information. Today's topic is how to increase your chances of getting lucky. I actually considered a different title, and that title was Why You Get Beaten by Favorites and How to Fix It. This particular topic is aimed at the guys who don't want to do a lot of work, but it would probably work for just about anybody. So imagine, you're going to the track this coming weekend, and you'd like to come home a big winner. Now, many of you out there are fishing in deep waters. You're looking for long shots, and you really don't have any interest in scoring in 4 to 5. What you want to do is cash bigger tickets. Well, have you ever noticed that you ever zig when you should zag and vice versa? And what I mean by that is you pick a low odds horse in one race, or you know, maybe not like 4 to 5, but you pick a low odds horse and you watch a long shot come in and beat you at $38 and you think, geez, I could have had that horse. And then in the very next race, you play the long shot and instead favorites wire the field. Well, we all know it happens to everybody, but what I want to do is I want to try to help you learn how to avoid it a little bit more. Now, why does this happen? Why do you get beaten by favorites in one race and then watch some fabulous winner go off at a long price in the next one? Could those two races have been differentiated between? I'm going to suggest that they can. And you don't have to do a lot of work in order to accomplish it. Now, understand, I'm not saying that the guys who do more work aren't likely to do better at the window than you are, because that's fact. I mean, it's logical. If you spend more time on it and you work harder on it and you're open to doing the right things and applying the right principles, you're probably going to get better results. And you may not like that answer, but that's reality. And the people who deny that answer are the people who refill their accounts on a regular basis or can't afford to go to the track because they've run out of money or whatever. Okay, here's the thing. We know we have to hold favorites to a higher standard. We know that. And the longer priced horses that we cash tickets on are generally not horses that glowed. They loomed off the page, as Howard Sarton used to say, in such a way that they were the best horse in the race. Oh, certainly in this race they were the best horse. But if they looked like world beaters and they were just so obvious, guess what? They don't pay $32. Okay, they pay 4 to 5. So what I want to get through to you with is that it's really a very simple process. You need two things to play a favorite. Think of that zigzag situation. I bet the favorite and I lost. I bet a long shot and I lost. Okay, so here's the thing. Let's say most of you are either picking up a racing form and reading through it vertically, and you're digesting information and maybe you're making a few marks, or you're looking at bris reports and again you're making a few marks on the page, or maybe you're using a piece of software but in a relatively simplistic manner and you're drawing circles on the monitor. No, probably not. But the point is you're looking at some condensed material, and even if you're looking at the racing form, your mind has condensed it into what you think is important. And again, most of you are you may not have a pocket protector, but you've got multicolored red pen, felt tip pens or markers, and there you are circling about. The point is, whatever your method is, you are looking at it from a higher level with circles and numbers and so forth, and I want to tell you how to leverage that. See, we know we have to hold favorites to a higher standard, but the first thing we need to do is we need to make an assessment in the race of who the contenders in the race really are. Okay, and it's not enough, you've got a 10-horse field and you say, oh, I like the 1, 2, 3, 4. There, I've got my contenders, okay? That is a starting point. But you have to go back and look at how did you determine that these horses were contenders? And what I'm suggesting is a simple little worksheet of sorts. In fact, you can do it right on your racing form or your bris report or whatever it is that you're using. Okay, the goal is to come up with about 5 factors or columns, whatever you want to call them, ratings, right? And all you want to do as you look at your horses is you take whatever it is, maybe you're looking at the big buyer number in the last 3 races, or the best 2 buyer numbers in the last 4, or whatever it is you're looking at, right? And take the horses and give them a number, like a 1, a 2, or a 3. A 1 is a horse that is excellent in that factor. A 2 is a horse that's good in that factor, but he's not the world beater, but he's got a good number. A 3 is a horse that's a little above average in that factor. okay? And everybody else is ignored. Now, are you allowed to have more than three? Certainly. You will have races where you have two excellence and one good and no average. I mean, it doesn't matter how you do it. What we're talking about here is a little step of calibration. So, for example, maybe your first column or factor is who's going to the front. Let's call that early speed. And based on your assessment, you say, well, the one is a one, and the two and the three are both twos. Not complicated. You've got that information. Write it down somewhere. Again, it could be right on the same page as the racing form, up in the corner or whatever. What you're doing is you're building kind of a consensus. So maybe the next factor you look at is something you call speed ratings or buyer numbers or whatever it might be. So as you're filling out the page, as you're looking at the page, so far you've got the 1, 2, 3 mentioned. Maybe here you have the 1, the 2, and the 4 get points. And you move on. Maybe the next column is your opinion of the trainer. Now notice, I'm not giving you a system. I'm not telling you how you don't have to have a system. You're just answering the question, how good is the trainer on this horse? Well, he's excellent, or he's good, or he's average, or he's poor. Or this, the next column might be jockey. Whatever it is, when it's all done, you've got the top horses, and you've got the ones and the twos, and the ones and the threes, and so forth. Okay? Now, the key to making this work, there's two things that you need in order to play a race. And I'm assuming you want to play mid-priced to long shots, and I think of mid-priced as maybe 6-1 and above, and long shots well above that. There's two things you need. The first one is, you need a favorite that deserves to be bet against. And the second thing that you need is you need a price horse that has a decent chance of winning. Now, those of you who have heard my discussions on Reynolds numbers, you know I could give you this mathematical formula or mathematical step, which I would say what you want is you want to look at your little grid here and you want to say, I want a horse that's got a 1 and a 1 or a 1 and a 2 or a 1 and a 3 in order to qualify, or a 2 and a 2, okay? But really what I'm saying to you, that's not what I'm really talking about, because you're going to have your numbering on a different scale, whatever that scale is. What I want you to think of is, for a favorite, I want him to have maybe 3 ones and 2s, okay? 1s and 2s, 3 of them. 3 out of, say, 5, maybe 6. 3 out of 5, okay? That makes him formidable. But when I look at a price horse, I don't want to hold him to the same standard. I'm going to come back and revisit this in a second. So, if I had looked up there and I had a favorite and he was 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, all ones, guess what? He's a pretty good horse. If he goes off at 4 to 5 or 3 to 5, I may not like betting 3 to 5 shots, and you may not like it, well, then fine, walk away from the race. Because that horse is not a play against horse, and you are looking for a play against low odds horse. So, what's a play against horse? I want 3 good numbers from a favorite who is an early horse. If he is a closer and not an early horse, I want 4 good numbers. Now, don't misunderstand. If I've got 3 ones, especially in the most important factors, you can't look at that horse and say he's a bet against horse. But if he's got a 2 and a blank and another 2 and 2 more blanks and he's a closer, well, he's very vulnerable. And you guys that want to deny, just pretend that all low odds horses are equal. They are not, and that's why you lose. You need to pick your spot. Okay, now, phase one here is to find a favorite that deserves to be bet against. The second phase is to find a favorite that has a non-favorite, a medium to long horse, that has something going for him. For example, yeah, by the way, think of this as a consensus page in the racing form, right? I mean, if you looked at the consensus page, you've got these 5 columns. Maybe nowadays it's 4. I really don't see racing forms very often. But let's say there's 5. And you see the same name across the top, okay? Well, you know he's going to be a low, low odds horse. In fact, if he isn't, he's probably suspect. Then you're going to see, in this number 2 positions, you're going to see a couple of different horses, usually. If any of those horses that get into that number 2 position are really good prices, well, you've got step number 2 is fulfilled, but you still need step number 1. So if you've got, let's say, a 15-1 shot, who's got a couple of 2s, or, in fact, well, I'll come back to that. So you've got a horse here who's 15-1, and even one guy likes him, one column of yours, likes him as a 2. That is, he's good, right? He's not excellent, but he's good. And of course, if he has an excellent, well, that may be enough to win the race. Imagine that what you're trying to do using this little grid of information, when the horse is ultimately in the winner's circle, you want to be able to look back and say, based on my handicapping, why did he win? And you can only use that little grid of paper. You can't say, start digging out reasons. Well, this horse, you know, the trainer of this horse used to date the jockey's wife, or vice versa. I mean, and he worked out last Thursday when the track was off. Well, that's fine. If it's a good piece of information, then it deserves a column. But it won't be, because you know you can't apply it to every horse in every race. These five columns should be the kind of columns that should be applied to every single race. Okay. So maybe turf races have a different set of columns, but you get my point. All right. Now, back to... horses that have a decent chance. A long shot that has a decent chance of winning. Let's say you have a horse at a price who's threes all the way across. Well, that makes him the third best horse in the race, right? And he dominates that third position. If the top two horses are both, they're solid plays, I mean solid favorites, he's the third best horse in a three-horse race. You can't afford to bet, because you're going to get killed by the first two. But if the first two positions are not solid for two horses, all of a sudden that third horse becomes playable at a significant price. So now I understand there's no twos. He doesn't have any twos. I'm simply saying if you use a little logic, but you've got to find a soft spot. Now, those of you who are going to the track and you're the night before, you're spending 30 minutes a race, you handicap 8 or 9, 10 races on a card at one track, okay? Instead of doing what you're doing, if you want to handicap the night before, that's fine, but instead, first you fill out your grid before you dig deep. And if you're looking at, well, this race has got a solid favorite and a pretty good second choice, don't waste your time on your long shots. They are going to be robbed consistently. These are the zig races, if you want to call them that. These are the races where a low odds horse is going to win, and the nature of your handicapping, because you gear yourself towards long shots, you're probably not very good at deciding which of those two are playable. And you're certainly not going to play both of them. Move on. So maybe you could determine that who the best horse are. Fill your little grid out. You should be able to, with a little practice, you should be able to do that in 4 minutes. 5 on the outside. Because it's concise. It's not deep thinking. It's not making big numbers. It's doing what you do now and summarizing it. Okay? It's not complicated. So instead of looking at the 9 races on this card, so by the time you've triaged that whole card and you've determined that races 3, 4, 8, 9 are most playable, that's fine. Dig out another card and another track and do the same thing again. Or if you prefer, do the deep handicapping on the 4 races that you liked. Then start on a second track. If you do this, if you start looking for weak spots, your results will improve. You'll have a better chance of coming home a big winner. Now, well, what happens if you're looking at Preakness weekend and you're at a track like Lone Star or Mountaineer or Santa Anita? Guess what? It's going to be favorites all day long. I get that through your head. That is the nature. Why? Because it doesn't matter which track it is. Doesn't matter if Preakness Day, you don't have to be a Pimlico to get the highest class races for a given track. Everybody has built up to that day because they're trying to draw the local audience. And so do not be surprised if you have 9 races on the card, if you don't find that 7 of them, maybe even more, pay 3-1 or less. It's not a good day for long shots. Well, now that doesn't mean you can't play. It means you have to pick your spot, and you may have to look at a lot more races in your contender zone, right? You may have to do a lot more 4 or 5 minutes of work to find races. You might have a half hour in a track and find one race that is worth handicapping to the next level. But if you do this, you're going to be surprised. Now, what happens if you do this and you find, well, the favorites I'm throwing out are still beating me? The races that I chose to play, the favorites are still beating me. Well, guess what? You needed to know that. You're not very good at handicapping favorites. You may not want to know that, but you need to know it. I'm going to end here. you can do this, you can improve your game, and you don't need to spend hour upon hour. You should be able to select your contenders in 5 minutes. I hope you enjoyed this. Let me know what you think. Have a great day.